Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 118 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make theater happen. Before we get too far along in this episode, I just want to say that it's good to be back after a little hiatus during the month of March. Matt and I were very busy creating content for the closing of Kinky Boots in the West End, All About Eve for NT Live, and some very special stuff for Come From Away, as well as many, many other shows, but more of that in episodes to come. And now for this week's podcast. Say the name Strallen, and you can take your pick of a first name, and you are pretty much guaranteed a quality turn. Scarlett, ZZ, Saskia, and this week's guest, the wonderful Summer Strallen, have all graced stages across London, the UK, and indeed the globe, all the while picking up nominations and awards all over the place. I mean, these are some seriously talented sisters. And I had the absolute pleasure to meet, sit down, and have a good old chin wag with Summer last week to chat about all kinds of things because, let's face it, she's got a CV that most actors would die for, working for some of the greatest directors of our time. But we started the whole chat talking about her latest play, Intramuros. Written by Alexei Michalik and directed by Che Walker, Intramuros tells the story of Richard, a theater director about to give his first drama class in a prison. Now hoping for some significant interest, only two prisoners show up. Assisted by his former actress ex-wife Jane and an inexperienced social worker called Alice, Richard decides to press on with the class anyway. Now, this was originally staged in France. The Park Theatre production is translated by Pamela Hargreaves with live music during the performance played by Ryo Kai, and we talk about that a little bit in this podcast. So, Summer gives some great insights about devising the translated piece with the company, finding her way into acting, coming from a talented family, and so much more. I mean, I could have talked with her for hours, and hopefully we will catch up with Summer once Intramuros has opened. But for now, well, have a listen. This is, sounds like an intriguing project.
Yeah.
It's called Intramuros, is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It means within the walls.
Okay.
In Latin. And so...
Can you take me through the concept of the idea behind it? Because
yeah, so Alexei Michalik, basically got together with a group of actors in Paris and created this piece to... you know, to sort of it's very meta. You know, there's like show within a, not even show, but it's based in a prison where there is a social worker and two actors giving a workshop to prisoners, which happens in penal institutions. And the director and of the workshop, Richard, is giving this workshop and trying to basically get the prisoners to act out who they were and what their lives are. And there are lots of twists and turns of who is involved, you know, the social worker, the Jane, the other actress, and their sort of lives all intermingling, but also showing that acting is, that everybody acts in some way in their lives, and you can get people to find an emotion and to feel an emotion that isn't necessarily theirs very easily. So trying to get, and the fact that prisoners, you know, a lot of it to do, is to do with the fact that prisoners generally are acting of performing in some way, whether they be, you know, they're the top dog, or you know, trying to be the most, the strongest, you know, to, so that, you know, it's survival of the fittest sometimes in those places. It's really interesting to, you know, we're all doing different little parts here at, you know, sort of multi roles, which is really also really fun.
But what a rich vein to tap into as an actor.
Oh, it's fun for all of us. All get to do it at some point, apart from maybe one of the actors. Yeah, that's what sort of drew me to the project was the multi-role, because, I mean, I did a workshop, ended up being huge at the Palladium workshop, where I actually did have to play just a couple of extra roles, and I just loved it, because I think my strongest acting chops are in comedy. I love doing comedy, but this is definitely not that. it's kind of dark comedy, and it's a real challenge for all of us to get our heads around the play, actually, because it's very much chopping and changing from past to future to potentially is it fantasy, is it not? So it's one for your brain. For the audience to really be using their brains of what connects with what and when.
So how many people in the cast? How many cast members?
Five excluding Rio, but Rio is also in the cast. Rio is our musical genius.
So I hear he's DJing live during the show, or is that what kind of what
so
happens?
So that's what happened in France, in Paris, I believe, where the play is still playing. It's been playing for 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
It got all the Molière awards. So in our production, Rio is with us, and less DJing and more playing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he plays the double bass, the saxophone, the piano, you know, he's got loads of different sound. There's lots of sound equipment in our rehearsal studio. But he is creating the sounds around the action, basically.
And how great to have that in the space, finding it, like, during the rehearsal process.
Yeah, and also becoming, you know, having him do it live every night on stage with us.
Yeah.
He's very much a part of it with us and creating those different places.
Any type of live performance, your performance is going to change from that. You will have a core performance. However, the audience predicts how you're going to react, or something on stage, or a way a line's delivered. So having that extra musician, you know, or a cast member who's a musician, to add even a kind of deeper level of, like, during the rehearsal process, have you found it change at all, or, like, you know,
all the time?
because
we're creating
inform?
It as well, which is nice, that it's not just a carbon copy of the Parisian production, because we have that different, slightly different element, and also it is different in that we're not having as many props to change the difference of the people and the places and the things. So the music is kind of integral to that, because it takes us from different places. You know.
So how many characters, then, are the five of you playing?
I play in all four characters, but they, you know, some of them are one-liners here and there. The others have three or four, if not five, where they're actually quite big parts, you know.
I think that's great, because it invites the audience to lean in and go, hey, pay attention, like, we're telling you the story.
Well, and use your imagination.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're asking the prisoners to do.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. In the workshop. So it's kind of putting you in that same vein, which is really fun.
Have you been able to speak to any kind of practitioners in that arena, that people who
well
gone
Jay
to?
Walker, our director, has actually done these workshops in prisons, and said that it's funny how they the barriers come down, but it does take quite a while sometimes with different people. And so Declan Perring, who plays Kevin, who's one of the prisoners, is sort of the prisoner who is who is definitely putting on some kind of front, and it doesn't get broken down too quickly. Mm. And so Shay has been given has been talking to us about that feeling and about going into these institutions and how that feels. I haven't, obviously, I would love to do that, but it's hard to kind of phone them up and say, hey, I'm doing a play. Oh, yeah. Would you mind if I come and like see some prisoners? You know, you have to actually be doing. Trust me, I've tried, but to no avail,
right.
Which is absolutely understandable.
Yeah, of course.
Because they're not, you know, it's not something, you know, I also would like to do it.
Yeah.
I would like to help in that way with people in prison with art, you know. I think it's so important for them.
No, absolutely.
For everybody, more than to the point, but
exactly,
you know,
more than ever.
Yeah.
I think bridging social divides is what we need any kind of help to build bridges. And I mean, maybe, you know, one of the things that I like to find out, because I normally go and see a show before I come and talk to the company, because it helps inform what we chat about. So this is like almost new territory.
Well, you have to come back and we'll have another chat.
I know, I definitely. Because I think that what I'd like to say is this sounds like it's quite an important play. It's, you know, who is this play for, really? Is it like for everyone to come and go, look, there's something behind the walls that you can't see, and these people are people.
Yeah.
You know, and,
well,
and take away the prisoner label. And as you said, they're acting.
Yes.
You know, when they walk in, they might be terrified.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
Well, and it's also about how it affects people on the outside as well. So it's got that those two... elements of the people inside as well as on the outside who are affected by it in some way. So that's goes to a wider audience. And also, we don't know a lot about, what I've realized from doing the play is that I don't know a lot about prisoners in prison. I happen to be quite a spiritual person, so I, you know, have my beliefs on how people are treated or why they might be. I ask the question of why they might be in prison in the first place and what pushed them to those things. And ultimately, it's generally circumstance from a very, very early age. And there's a lot of that in the play.
Yeah. What would you like people to take away when they come and see this? What would you like them to leave the theatre with?
I'm not sure whether I meant to say this, but I think with a certain element of compassion for the characters, all the characters, really, and to ask themselves questions on their judgment of people who are in prison and why.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't just then... It doesn't just then talk, you know, make you think about people in prison, but it makes you think about everyone and how you might affect somebody else's life because of your choices.
Yeah. It's great for someone to go away from a play with questions or, like, not questions about the play they've seen, but questions about themselves.
Yeah.
Like that's when art truly, truly succeeds. In my book.
Yeah. And how... acting can change someone's perspective, whoever they may be.
I think I first saw you way back in Guys and Dolls at the Piccadilly. Now, is that right? Was that with Jenna?
It was Jenna and Sarah and Jane Krakowski.
Yes, that's right. I've seen you kind of just smash it, Summer, like you do. You've come, like, you have such a great career. And it looks like you can put your hand to anything. It's theater and television and film and whatnot. And I mean, what is it about you and your family like that is drawn to the arts? Because I know the people that will be listening that do follow you. You just seem to be able to turn your hand to it all. You're such a massive talent and such an asset to the London stage. So,
well, thank you for that. One thing that I feel our family are terrible at doing is taking compliments. We are terrible at taking compliments, and I won't take any of them. No, I will take them, definitely. It's less about being drawn, and for me, it wasn't about being drawn. It was about being dragged.
Oh, right.
To it, because my parents were in shows. My grandmother had a dancing school. We used to go to the dancing school. I'm a very honest and open person about that. But what happened was that we were doing that, and my parents, like any parent, if they see their child having a talent for something or a gift for something, they're going to push them in that direction.
Yeah.
It just, you know, so happened that we had the wherewithal to be doing it every single Monday and Thursday.
Yeah.
We then, Scarlett went to arts educational. Yeah. I saw that she was having, I was in a Catholic school in Twickenham, you know, playing netball at 9 a.m. and she was in arts ed doing ballet with boys. And I'm like in this all girls school going 9 o'clock netball, 9 o'clock ballet with boys. I'm going to go and do that. You know, like I honestly, it was like, it's so boy crazy.
So funny.
And still am. yeah, so it was kind of that pull in a way. And it was a pull to, something that I was good at as well. And when I say naturally, I mean because we had done it from when we were so young. And it was fun going and being in the pantos and working with professionals. And we did that from, you know, I did that, my first panto when I was 3 years old. So I was learning how to do, you know, learn steps and learning dialogue and learning songs.
Yeah.
From also because my parents were in the shows, we would have people from actual West End shows coming in to teach us. It wasn't just dancing school that, you know, you go to in somewhere, you know, outside of London that doesn't have those people, those inspiring people who are doing what they've set out to do, which is be on the West End stage. So that happened, and then about 13, I thought, yeah, okay, this is what I'm good at, I'm going to do it.
But
you know,
because, well, you've proven that you are, because you've worked with, you know, Grandage and Jamie Lloyd and Susan Stroman and Trevor Nunn and all these, you know, you rattle off these names that are insane. So, I mean, your bucket list must be getting ticked.
And it's also the actors that I've worked with, you know, like, that Guys and Dolls for me was, as far as until now, one of the peaks of my career, because I, you know, learning from Doug and Jane and Jenna and seeing that kind of that skill, and then doing bits of television and, you know, this job for me now. I think my main tip that I would give anyone is never feel like you know everything. Always learn from the people in the cast or in the creatives or whatever. There is always one person that you can gravitate to that will teach you something. When I was asked to do Intramuros, I was very much wanted to bite their hand off, because I knew that Che and Victor and Emma and Declan were people that I was going to learn from. And I am a lot. Learning from them, learning about myself, you know, and that's what it's about. It's about pushing your own boundaries. You know, we do that. We are in the theatre. What I realised also about the theatre is that it's about pushing boundaries. And if you're not doing that, it can be quite thankless. Whereas if you actually feel, that's why, you know, people who are in company or people in Hamilton, it's so revered, and it makes people, the actors, feel like they're part of some change.
Yeah.
And that is an incredible feeling. Which is why, again, also, you know, I would rather do little things in fringe venues than do big commercial musicals that aren't actually going to be telling anyone anything or making anybody think about anything. I love doing musicals, don't get me wrong, I really do. And I love kicking my leg and all of that and showing off. I do. But it's really nice when you are doing something that actually pushes a boundary.
Excellent. Simon, thank you so much. I will come back to you.
Come back
and then
and
we'll
see
have a
it.
Chat afterwards.
Yeah, I don't mind. We can do it in the bar or whatever.
Yeah, the bar's good.
The multi-talented and multi-Olivier Award-nominated Summer Stralin, appearing at the Park Theater in Intramuros. I will put a link in the show notes, and we'll give you the website deets in a second. But before I do, if you are a theater professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. Create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, and away you go. Follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Curtain Call, and you can follow me at John Schwab, J-O-H-N-S-C-H-W-A-B. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions for the podcast, just get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. So it just leaves me to say a huge thank you to the lovely Summer Strallen. And I don't mean that patronizing at all. Summer was as lovely and as welcoming as anyone we have ever met on our Curtain Call travels, especially as we did this little chat after a long day's rehearsal. Break legs to her and the entire company of Intramuros, which plays at Park Theater in Park 200 from tonight, the 3rd of April, until the 4th of May 2019. For tickets, visit parktheater.co.uk and click on the relevant links. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.